You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So glad you're with us for this preseason, leading you into the regular season and your NFL fantasy football drafts here. Looking closer and closer to that time. We like to wait until after the third preseason game. We'll have our first here with the Eagles and Browns on Thursday night. So we have to look more and more, dive deeper into the cheat sheets to help you with your draft. We've looked at the trust or bust players, the guys that have the biggest question marks. People are wondering how much do I want to trust those guys. That was on our previous show. Today, we'll go around the teams one more time and talk about those deep, deep sleepers. So people always say, oh, this last or next to last round, hopefully, if it's not your kicker or defense, maybe even the penultimate round or the third from last, what kind of players to pick there? It's difficult to gauge, but you always want to look for upside all the way till the end. Kind of look at the positions you have. Don't force yourself into a backup defense, tight end, or something like that. Always go for a guy that you think could have big-time return here in your league. So this is when you get rather late and you don't know who to take on each team, who to kind of stash. Maybe they're not going to be of use now. That's okay because they're your late 14th, 15th, 16th round pick in most leagues that you're not going to need help from now. You're hoping that they will help you later or they'll way outperform and they're just way under the radar of where they should be taken. And there's several of those as we go around the team. So we'll go like we do typically in alphabetical order with the Arizona Cardinals coming up first. And I think the flyer there for Arizona, Christian Kirk, the wide receiver, he's now the number two, trending that way. The rookie from Texas A&M really climbing up the board steadily there. Josh Rosen could be a candidate as well at some point, but this passing game, they don't have a lot of weapons. It's Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson leading the way. Ricky Seals-Jones, still a question mark there, but Christian Kirk, great flyer here. If he's the number two receiver, he's going to get some volume there. He's a good short to intermediate receiver. He's probably going to work the slot more than Larry Fitzgerald, so he might be that big security blanket if Seals-Jones is not a factor and something's happened off the field. So Christian Kirk is the name to keep in mind to throw out late as a name from the Arizona Cardinals. We go to the Atlanta Falcons, and I think one guy that you totally cannot forget on the Falcons late, and a lot of it is due to looking at Calvin Ridley and what he can do, but Mohamed Sanu. Mohamed Sanu can have some value here for your team. In ways, Sanu has been very productive with Julio Jones in there, so Jones and Ridley are going to get some attention. Mohamed Sanu doesn't have like that big, big upside at all, but he's a guy that could help you in a pinch, and we know Jones has got some injury history there, and Ridley's a rookie, so you might have Matt Ryan trusting Mohamed Sanu a little bit more than you think this year. So he's a guy that maybe is just seen as an afterthought completely, but he is going to be a big part of this offense because Austin Hooper, I know the tight end, is getting some buzz, but Sanu is going to still be a factor here and could score a little bit more with Ridley and Jones driving attention. For the Baltimore Ravens, sticking with the wide receiver theme, it would be John Brown. And John Brown, there's questions about his durability. It's always going to be there, but you're talking about a very late round pick for John Brown. And if you look, Joe Flacco, different guys have been his go-to guy. Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith, Mike Wallace, He was the preferred choice over Jeremy Maclin of late. Maclin didn't work out, but this is a revolving door of veteran wide receivers. They really like Brown. He's run routes well. He's the type of receiver that can work inside and outside that Flacco likes. People on Michael Crabtree, but I don't think there's going to be too much difference here. And I think you take the late round flyer there on what you can get from John Brown. Now, the Bills are a little bit tougher, but I'm going to throw out Charles Clay, the tight end, because you look at this receiving core, still not very good. I think people are off Charles Clay a little bit because Tyrod Taylor's not there, but you have Kelvin Benjamin, and that's about it. So they're going to need to throw the ball to someone. If Josh Allen starts, he's going to go safe to Clay on a lot of passes. Nick O'Leary has been on the roster bubble. He showed some flashes, but I think Charles Clay is still going to be the starter there in Buffalo. So he's the guy I'm definitely targeting late. If I need a tight end two, who could play like a tight end one at times. Now, for the Carolina Panthers, it's hard, but I think this is mainly a deep PPR type play. But Curtis Samuel, he's looked rather good here of late. I know this is a low pecking order type guy, but you have Devin Funchess and DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey and Greg Olsen. But at some point, Samuel is going to be a cog in this offense and going to do some things here. And I could see this team being a very pass-centric offense. So he's a bit of a shot in the dark, and he's very reach, very deep sleeper here. But Carolina, typically the players are going to go in the top 150 here. I think you could also consider defense as a bit of a flyer as well, that you could take a little earlier than expected. Right now they're listed as a defense special teams too. But I'm going to look to Samuel. I think he's going to have more value than people think. I don't know if it's going to be as fantasy relevant, but an injury here or there away, he could have some big upside. So if you're a deeper league with PPR, I think you have to look at Samuel and just consider him. Not the greatest of option from the Panthers there late, but some teams are void of those players. And the Panthers, it's a little bit of a reach there, but we're going to go with it just because we've liked the way Samuel has looked here in camp. Now, let's look at the Chicago Bears. And the Bears, whole bunch of guys that you have to look at as trying to figure out how this offense passing game is going to come together and really produce here. So when you look at it, I think you have to look at Tarik Cohen, because we'll see what Cohen's role in this offense is. You have Anthony Miller in there, Mitchell Trubisky getting some attention as well late, but I'm going Tarik Cohen, one of the later round picks here. He's actually ranked in the hundreds, going in the 120s, so he's not too late of a pick. You might have to reach a little bit, especially if you're in a league with a Bears fan. But he's going to have a key receiving role here. Now, Adam Shaheen, the update is he's banged up. So you have Trey Burton, probably a lot of Anthony Miller, and probably a lot of Tarik Cohen. So the safe throws out of the backfield. Allen Robinson, this is why I'm a little off Allen Robinson. You're going to have a lot of short to intermediate throws in this offense. So Tarik Cohen is what we're looking at for the Bears as someone you can target there and be happy with as a late round sleeper. Now, the Bengals, this one is difficult, but I think with the considerations you have on their team, I think you have to look at Tyler Eifert being a late round flyer here, because I don't love him early. The injuries are just a mess. But if you're taking him late as your tight end two, and we know what he could do. He could be a touchdown machine, even with limited snaps there, which it sounds like he's getting for Cincinnati. That's where I'm going to get him. But if you're taking him way too high in the 150s there, then it's a question mark. But if you wait and take Tyler Eifert this late in your draft and see what he can do, I think that's a reasonable pick. So Tyler Eifert is my sleeper. If he can stay healthy, again, I think having a rotation with Tyler Kroft is going to help a little bit. But if Eifert's not healthy and there's more setbacks, then Tyler Kroft becomes more appealing. I just don't think we'll know that before the preseason. So Eifert, make sure that you're getting good value, but he's a way to go. Now, we look at the Browns, and this one's easy. I've been touting him all offseason. It's Tyrod Taylor. You can get him so far down the list now, even with the prospect of Josh Gordon look like he's coming back. 193 ranking, 216 ADP. That's ridiculous. And when you look at some of the quarterbacks going ahead of him, Jameis Winston, who's actually going to miss a quarter of the season, and Case Keenum and Andy Dalton and Mitchell Trubisky, just very sad to see. I think Tyrod Taylor is going to outperform all those guys. He's in an offense where you add up the weapons, it's got to produce. So Tyrod Taylor's the easy one. I've been pitching him here all through this podcast throughout the offseason, but now we're confirming that for sure. We look at the Dallas Cowboys, and this one is rather easy for me. It's Michael Gallup, the wide receiver. I know this is going to be a mainly running team for the Cowboys, and their wide receiver core is still going to be a bit of a crowd here with Allen Hurns and Cole Beasley and maybe Terrence Williams still being in the mix, Tavon Austin. But Michael Gallup is the guy who literally stands out among the rest. Big target, can go up and get the ball, make some big plays. So he's the guy I'm looking at for sure as the Cowboys sleeper, and I'm keep moving him up the boards among the rookie players. He's just fantastic here. Now, I'm pleased to announce that, you know that Michael Gallup lit it up at Colorado State? Well, I'm pleased to announce that we've got you covered for college football now launching there on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On to College. So if you're a fan of the big teams, Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Baylor, Penn State, Oregon, or BYU, we've got your show, and it is quite a show for you. So it's fantastic. You can look at these podcasts, get into your teams immediately here. Great timing before college football season. Fantastic to have these new voices on the network. So check out those shows. Now we've had NFL and MLB and NBA and fantasy. It was time to add college, and here it comes in a big way. So check out all those shows. Go download them on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Download them. The latest offering from the Locked On Network, Locked On to College. Let's continue our look at the deepest late-round sleepers for every team here in 2018. For the Denver Broncos, we go back to the wide receiver well. It's Courtland Sutton. You look at the rookie there from SMU having a nice role, a good preseason camp. They're catching balls outside, three receiver sets, a lot of them. So he's going to be in there with Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. He's a big target, big scoring threat. So if you're going to take a flyer there on a player from Denver, I think it has to be Courtland Sutton. For the Lions, you have to look at Theo Riddick. And Theo Riddick, not exciting, but PPR leagues and his ability to be a big security blanket for Matthew Stafford in these games where they're blown out. He's going to be on the field there. Kerryon Johnson's a rookie. He'll get his chances there on third downs as well as early downs, but they're going to have to see a lot more of him. So Theo Riddick is not a bad sleeper. He's still going to be a play there in the Lions' offense. We go to the Green Bay Packers, and the guy you have to look at is Geronimo Allison. And Allison has been going late now in drafts. He's there as the number three receiver. They've talked about shopping Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb's the main slot guy, so you can see a lot of Allison starting outside opposite Devontae Adams with Jimmy Graham in their tight end. So Geronimo Allison has pretty much held his job there. They've drafted three rookies. They've not been able to catch up to him. Allison's had a very good preseason here overall in camp, so he's taken over, and there's some flashes there that we've seen in the past from Aaron Rodgers. So Packers offense, you always have to think of guys, and that's one of them here. For the Texans, he's not going to be available to you now, but Dante Foreman, you have to look at. This is a guy that nearly was able to push Lamar Miller off the roster, but then he had the Achilles, taking a long recovery. So completely not healthy, but in time, he's a more talented back overall and younger back than Lamar Miller. So not a bad stash there, especially if you've got Miller, because things could change there in the middle of the season once Foreman gets healthy. I don't think Alfred Blue is going to help you too much there as a handcuff, so you can look longer term and think about what you'll get from Dante Foreman. For the Colts, which running back do we pick between Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines, and you've got Kristen Michael and Robert Turbin in this mix? None of the above. I think we're going with Jordan Wilkins, the rookie. They're same class as Hines coming in. Wilkins has gotten more first-team reps than Hines here of late. Marlon Mack is just a multitude of injuries there with the shoulder and hamstring. So Jordan Wilkins is the guy I'm going to throw out late. It's a messy backfield, but I think he could very much be the Corey Clement to Frank Reich on this team that Corey Clement was with the Eagles, the guy that was unheralded but came in and did some stuff. He was undrafted. Wilkins is a later round pick, but that's the guy I'm throwing out for the Colts. For the Jaguars, the guy I'm definitely looking at, and it's a bit of a crowd in the receiving core, but I just have a good feeling about Dede Westbrook and doing some things in this offense. You look at Keelan Cole, he's been steadily as the number two there working with Marquise Lee here, but Dede Westbrook is a guy we've seen, Heisman finalist, big playmaker at Oklahoma. The light has kind of gone on for him, so Dede Westbrook, I'm looking at that. I know there's some buzz about Dante Moncrief, DJ Chark. It's a complete kind of crowd there at receiver for the Jaguars to make it really hard to trust anyone. But Westbrook is the guy that I'm looking at just with his talent alone and a chance to be a regular receiver in this offense that I am going after him in a lot of drafts. Had a great camp, great preseason, and building from there. For the Kansas City Chiefs, you have to consider, I think you have to look a little deeper with the Chiefs, but Damien Williams, the guy I'm looking at as a handcuff to Kareem Hunt. I think there's a little bit more clarity there that Williams is going to be the guy. They released Charcandrick West. Spencer Ware is not healthy. Kerwin Williams is not as versatile. So that's where I think this is headed to with the Chiefs as a sleeper to look for. So I'm keeping Williams on my bench because he's a good guy. They can do a lot of things Hunt can there if Hunt would go down. So don't recommend always forcing yourself into handcuff unless there's a clear situation, but it's clear that there is one there in Kansas City. Our next team that we'll look at is the Los Angeles Chargers, and right now the backup situation behind Melvin Gordon is very cloudy, so I think what you're going to see there is Austin Eckler. They've mixed in some other guys, but Eckler is still valuable and maybe in his own right as well in PPR leagues, but they need to make up for the loss of Hunter Henry in different ways. They said Melvin Gordon's going to see the ball more. They're going to have Mike Williams do more damage in the red zone, but I think you have to distribute a little bit, and with no real true number two back there to Gordon, unfortunately, it's been a rough go it for what you have with Justin Jackson, the rookie from Northwestern. Things haven't really looked that good for him. So injury-wise, he's out of the mix. So Eckler is a guy that I'm targeting just because he has been valuable, especially as a flex kind of PPR play. And there's a lot of those that you see late in drafts. For the Los Angeles Rams, I'm going with John Kelly. He's got upside. If something were to happen to Todd Gurley, he's going to play. I don't think he's going to see much action with Gurley in there, but he is a capable rookie backup as we've seen in the preseason game. So John Kelly, handcuffing needs, there is a clear-cut one there, and that's how we go. The next team we look at here is the Miami Dolphins, and I think this one is pretty easy. You got to take a flyer on all parts of their backfield. I'm going to go with Kalen Ballage. He's not worth a high pick at all. He's kind of trending downward, but this looks like a complete mess with what we've seen their situation go into. So I really would go with Ballage here because we don't completely trust that you're going to get the steady kind of touch commitment to Kenyon Drake with Frank Gore in the mix from Adam Gase. So Ballage, late round flyer. We know things can change quickly. We saw Jay Ajayi was the man going in last year. Then it turned over to Drake. That could easily happen again with Gase, where it goes from Drake to Ballage. Our next team that we'll look at is the Minnesota Vikings. And there's not too many sleeper picks there. But we'll go to Latavius Murray, maybe being underdrafted. Maybe Dalvin Cook is being perceived as a straight-up feature coming off the torn ACL. But Murray's going to have a role there, touch the ball, be a factor there in the red zone as well. So he's a guy, handcuff, one of the better handcuffs in the league as well, so maybe standalone value. For the New England Patriots, this one is just so hard sometimes to decipher because they're all over the board. They're going through a lot of issues right now, so we really can't look at what they're doing with any kind of confidence here. But I'd say the guy that I'm targeting a lot on the Patriots is really James White, because you look at James White and his value to the offense, it's a steady role. Rex Burkhead could be moved around. You look at Sonny Michel possibly being hurt. I really like what James White can do, especially in a PPR league. So he's a guy that I look at very late in drafts because I think he'll have a bigger role than expected early, with some questions about the backfield and the passing game there for the Patriots. For the New Orleans Saints, I think the guy that I would throw out is Cameron Meredith. I don't like him too early because there's still Ted Ginn Jr. around there. Michael Thomas is a clear number one. Alvin Kamara in the passing game. But Cameron Meredith, if he could stay healthy, we know he was off to something special with the Bears last year before he tore his ACL. That's a real concern. He hasn't really flashed or done much here in the preseason. But in time, I think this could be an offense that flows mainly through Thomas and Meredith in the passing game. So definitely a guy that I'm going to throw out. And right along the same way is Benjamin Watson. I think whoever can get that number two situation, Ted Ginn could fade a little bit, the number two type receiver behind Michael Thomas in terms of key targets through the red zone, one of those guys will be it. And Meredith, a little bit higher for me than Watson. Watson it can be a solid tight end two streamer for you, but Meredith has a little bit more upside to be a big-time producer in a big-time offense. The next team I'll talk about is the New York Giants. And with the Giants, I think you have to look at Wayne Gallman, because there's been a lot of people attached to Jonathan Stewart, much to get Jonathan Stewart to back up Saquon Barkley. But Wayne Gallman is the guy that has a lot of special talent there, could really take over his role. So I don't see him touching the ball much when Barkley's around. But again, a sneaky handcuff there that you can stash for relatively cheap insurance policy for Saquon Barkley. For the Jets, my sleeper is Bilal Powell. And I don't really want to invest highly in this Jets backfield. Isaiah Crowell is going way high, but Bilal Powell I wouldn't mind having a piece of, because he is a good versatile PPR player. He's going to be on the field, security blanket. They're going to be trailing a lot. So Bilal Powell is the guy I'm targeting. I think a close second to me is Quincy Enunwa, the wide receiver. Can work like a tight end. He's a converted tight end, big slot guy for them when healthy. We have to see if he's healthy, but they both can be good producers for you. So don't totally sleep on the Jets having no fantasy value. For the Oakland Raiders, I'm looking at Jalen Richard, the scat back extraordinaire there behind Marshawn Lynch and Doug Martin. So we have a good reading here that Richard is going to be a big part of this offense, swing passes, all that. I think John Gruden loves him, and he probably is underused a little bit. So PPR, again, PPR alert, those are the type of players you go after in those late rounds, and I think Jalen Richard fits that bill. Another great show here on the Locked On Network and our sister shows, Locked On NFL, hosted by Matt Williamson. Now it's become Locked On NFL of Experts. As Matt Williamson is now joined regularly each week by likes of Mike Sando of ESPN, Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus, former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels, and of course, our local experts on the hottest local stories here on the Locked On NFL Network. So, great show by Matt, former scout with great scouting expertise, bringing on more great minds, including those guys I mentioned, and our team here at Locked On NFL. So check that show out. We're going to have similar big changes around the corner that I'm excited to talk about for Locked On Fantasy Football. So ramping up all our shows here to get you more voices and bigger insight and analysis than you've ever had before on the Locked On Network. We'll wrap up our look here at the deep sleepers, guys' names you want to throw out. We have seven more teams to go through. The Philadelphia Eagles come up next. And Eagles, it's really tricky to go too deep on here because there's so much spread out information on them. But I say it's still Corey Clement. I think he's a guy that with Darren Sproles in there and Jay Ajayi can get forgotten a little bit. But Clement can score a little bit, a swing guy, he has to stay healthy, but Sproles is ancient and he could slow down any time. J.J. may not get any scoring love here, so Corey Clement, with LeGarrette Blount gone, could see a nice role there to finish drives. With the Pittsburgh Steelers, my guy is got to look at James Conner. He looked really good as a handcuff to Le'Veon Bell. He's a must-have. He's looked sleek. He could have a big role at some point if they trade him at the deadline. That's Bell in October, so you have to keep all that in mind with James Conner. With the 49ers, my late pickup there would be Matt Breida. Same thing in this mix. These change of pace backs that are available that can provide depth, could have some standalone service for you, and handcuff value behind Jerick McKinnon. So all of those reasons combined is a way to go. Our next team is the Seattle Seahawks. And you look at the Seahawks, and I think you have to really dig deep and go to Jerron Brown, the wide receiver they picked up from the Arizona Cardinals. He could be that Jermaine Curse role, occasionally a flyer, can make some plays for you. Also missing Paul Richardson there. Tyler Lockett, we like, but we know he can't necessarily stay healthy. So Jerron Brown in time could have a big role with Doug Baldwin in that offense, especially with Jimmy Graham no longer there as well. We go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and their sleeper has got to be Chris Godwin. He's going to line up a lot outside as the number two receiver with DeSean Jackson moving inside. So he's jumped Adam Humphreys in this mix. So Chris Godwin, Penn State, very talented receiver, could be very productive against single coverage opposite Mike Evans. We look at the Titans, and their sleeper is Tywan Taylor. He's a slot receiver there. Corey Davis is getting all the love as the young receiver to watch there. Rishard Matthews still hanging around, got a new deal. But my question is about how the balls will distribute. And I think we look at Cooper Kupp last year in the offense for the Rams, run by Matt LaFleur, was a big, big factor. So Tywan Taylor is a guy I'm looking for the Titans. And finally, I'm closing with the Redskins. And my guy for the Redskins is Vernon Davis. And Jordan Reed, if you take him early, I don't think you should necessarily look to having another tight end from another team. I would look to Vernon Davis. Remember, this is Alex Smith. They connected long ago in San Francisco there. They have a connection. It's inevitable Reed gets hurt. It's inevitable Josh Doctson disappoints and Davis is needed more. He's a good blocker. They want to be a better running team. Jordan Reed doesn't block as well as Davis. So that's what I'm seeing is my sleeper for the Redskins. Vernon Davis, not a bad late round flyer, especially in deep league. And if Reed is hurt, then Davis is going to definitely have a lot more value and appeal because he's so durable, even though he's so old, impeccable shape, and has a good chemistry from the past with Alex Smith. So there you have it. There's your look at the deep sleepers to draft on every team if you're looking for that 14, 15, 16 round potential steal and don't know who to take. Those are the guys you should consider in your drafts as they ramp up here in the next 2 weeks. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Mimini Iyer. We'll see you next time with more pre-draft breakdown.